Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and my beautiful wife, Mrs. Chef.
Good evening.
Yeah, well, you're back.
I'm back again.
Yep, you're back. We had a Charlou and Kathy last week, and this week you're back. It's always great to have you sitting across. And again, you found us here on KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. And you can reach us if you'd like to call down here and talk to Ben. Ben would love to take your question.
I would love to talk to you guys.
Yeah, and he can either pass the question on or he can patch you through. That number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. So, we're talking about food here again with Cooking Like a Pro. And we've been working on a variety of things. Something my Mrs. Chef has been working on for a while is this booklet. I guess you call it a booklet.
Yeah, it's going to be an e-book.
And it's like everything you want to know about vegetables. I mean, it's deep. It's deep. It's got some really good stuff on it. We've been working on it together. I don't know how many pages this is, but
we're about 30 pages right now.
30 pages, and this will be available, I think, for purchase, but we'll figure that out, and I think it should be available in the next
Well, right now, you can go to culinarilyyours.net, and there is a pop-up where you can get onto the list. Okay. So you'll be notified as soon as it's available.
There you go. So just go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net.
And that will take you, or you can just go to culinarilyyours.net. That's
so
our main
places
website.
To go, folks. There are nooks and crannies in it.
All roads lead the same place.
So anyway, going with vegetables, one of the things that I'm just a huge fan of, we're going to be talking about pickles. Pickles, pickling food versus fermenting it, first off, it's low calorie. It's very high flavor. These items that are pickled, you do have to be careful because it kind of falls what I put into that Asian understanding of, how I see seasonings, things being seasoned in a Asian or Pan-Asian areas, which is they overemphasize sodium. So because of that, they way overemphasize sugar to balance out for the fact that you don't know that it's so salty. And you can grab an Asian vinaigrette off the shelf and look at the label. You probably won't ever use it again. But usually it's like three parts sugar, one part salt. So there's a lot of salt, but then the sugar kind of helps balance that out. But anyway, that's kind of one of the things that goes along with when you're pickling something. So obviously you don't want to eat pickles every day, but pickled vegetables of all sorts. I mean, from kimchi to sauerkraut. I'm a big sauerkraut fan. How
not particularly.
What are your pickles? I know you like pickles. Your dad made the best bread and butter pickles in the world.
But there's a difference between true sauerkraut and quick kraut. You know, quick sauerkraut being a vinegar-based pickled item, and sauerkraut that is naturally fermented with salt and thyme and bacteria, it's a little different.
Well, and that's when you get to that fermentation, which is well better. As far as the health benefit, because you got probiotics coming in, you've got, you know, a capture of vitamins, minerals. I actually went through and found the high sodium is really the thing you want to make sure that you're careful of. But again, we talked about the salt sugar combo, but I mean, the blood sugar, it helps stabilize. You know, nothing grows in vinegar. That's kind of the way I always used to look at it. Nothing grows in vinegar. So, how can it be bad?
Yeah, well, that's the pickling. But, you know, the fermented foods, we don't consume very many of those in the United States like other countries do. And that's, you've heard a lot about gut bacteria lately, gut health.
Yes.
And because we don't eat a lot of fermented foods, that's one of the things that's harming our system. So trying to do the kimchi and the natural sauerkraut. And, you know, I love kombucha, and that is naturally fermented black tea, and I love kombucha. So That's the way I get it.
Yeah, it's again, I mean, well, some of the things that I noticed was that this has been decades ago, but I was watching the Tour de France and they were eating the bicyclists, if I pronounced that right, were eating pickle bars like protein bars, but made out of pickles, and it's for leg cramps, you know. So there's something else that what was that look for? Oh, I'm serious.
I don't know.
It was.
Just to sit and eat pickles?
Yeah, pickles. Help you with your leg cramps, your muscle cramps.
Well, we
and
did.
Vitamins, A, C, K, a lot of minerals as
you,
well.
You will sit and drink pickle juice. I've seen you do that. Just take the pickle juice and just drink it.
Well, there's that little fad about drinking just straight vinegar, too. It's really no different. Pickle juice.
Apple cider vinegar.
Pickle juice. Yeah. I think if I'm going to do shots, I'm going to do pickle juice before I do red wine vinegar straight to my throat, you know, the acid reflex just, but you talked about gut health and we mentioned probiotics, but also antioxidants. So they fight off inflammation. So it's a great thing to do. And you can pickle anything. I mean, if you can fit it in a pickling jar, however big your jar is.
Well, it's a preservative technique. So, you know, when you get things in a season that won't carry over the next season, how do you preserve it? And pickling was one of the best ways to do that.
I think you're basically canning with vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And again, and then you're adding, you know, shelf life by, you know, you'd probably say years, but I would definitely say, you know, I would do it more of a seasonal thing. I know that you, my wife, she labels everything. There's a date on everything. And I'm not just talking about the refrigerator and the cupboards, but I mean, I'm surprised when I walk in, there's a date on the toothpaste. I mean, she's got this thing about labeling, and it's great.
I can't remember anything.
It's great. Oh, is that what? Okay. All right. Well, we all fall into that category as we're getting older.
I'll remember next week that I made this. No. 2 days later, I can't remember I made it.
Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? Bonomi. There was a real that was a sandwich that kind of almost seems like it fizzled out, but boy, when that thing is made right, you know, I like the char siu, and I like to make my own char siu. Char siu is brined pork, and it has that good old red dye number 40 in it. That stuff will kill you if nothing else does. But then you have to, generally it can be pork, or it can actually be, ground to almost like a pate. But then after that, it's pickled vegetables. You know, radishes,
carrots.
You know, a little bit of just about everything that could go in there.
I
right?
think radishes, sprouts, carrots, and carrots, cucumbers.
Cucumbers, of course. Yes. Yeah. So, but a bánh mì is just, it's a Vietnamese sandwich. And really the actual bánh mì, the word means bread. Okay. So it's really more about the bread than it's just putting stuff in between the bread. And again, usually some sort of a pork in some fashion of, or another char siu is pork. So that's just one of the things we do. But it's just, you want a firm bread, because if you're going to do a bánh mì, it's kind of a real moist, you know, sandwich, because it's got marinated everything in it. So everything's got that moisture content. So I get a good bread, a French bread, slice that in half, and then kind of press down that middle dough. Like, let's say, think of it as like you're looking at a baked potato, and you press that down in the middle, because you want to make kind of like a boat shape. And you make that boat shape, and actually, you know, but oil and water don't mix. So what I would do would be take that bread, press it down to make the bottom more of a boat. You can do the same thing with the top. Brush that with a little bit of melted butter, and then brown that in the oven, because water and oil won't mix. So the moisture from the vegetables won't go into the bread because of the oil that was baked onto the exterior. So that's always a good way of kind of, you know, making sure you don't have a soggy sandwich. Like a French dip, right?
Yeah.
Like the old Hofbräu. Did you ever go to Hofbräu?
I have never been to Hofbräu. I may have been to one a long time ago.
Just, you know, you take the bread and just slap it in the juice and the grease, and then you pile a bunch of generally pork, but, you know, roast beef, turkey. I used to love the one in the old mall that we had here.
Isn't that where you would put sauerkraut on your sandwich? Because that's usually a German dish, right?
Oh, yeah. Germans put sauerkraut on just about anything. Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, I had that when I was over there. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We appreciate you joining us here at Cooking Like a Pro, and we will be back in just a moment.
Blah, blah, disease. How on earth could I miss such a sweet little succulent crab? Quel dommage, what a loss. Here we go, into sauce. Now some flour, I think, just enough. Now I'll stuff you with bread. You don't hurt.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
All right, welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro with your host and hostess, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista. And, hey, we pickles, that was a good discussion. I like that. You know, I was coming across something today about aroma. And one of the things that I, you know, especially that I had bought you that book from a lady that I had talked to. What was her name again?
Barb Stuckey.
What's the name of her book?
The book is called Taste What You're Missing.
Taste What You're Missing. Yeah, I've not read all of it, but it's a really cool book. And one of the things that it first points out is, and I don't think we consciously think about this, but what we taste, 90% of it is actually what we're smelling. Only 10% is what we're tasting. That's the breakdown that they have now. So we know what we've talked before about taste buds. We know our taste buds, you know, around 60 years old, they'll quit replicating. Also, as you get older, there's other things that come into play. Medication is the first thing I think about, how that affects your ability to taste and your ability to smell. And I know that was how I found out that I had COVID, was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he stopped tasting. Yeah, you were kept adding salt, and I took a taste, and I about fell over.
Yeah. Kristen and our son Isaac both just spit it out. And I'm like, that's what it took for me to realize that I was working a lot of hours and all that, so I was kind of tired anyway. But that was losing, and as a chef, losing your ability to be able to taste and smell is like, it's like a pianist losing their hands.
Fingers, yeah.
Yeah, or their fingers. Yeah, or maybe just some of their, I couldn't taste, and it took a while. I can't remember exactly.
It took several months.
Yeah, it took several months, and it kind of came back without me really noticing it because I was working, all the time also, and I kind of gotten used to having other people taste things. Because I can make something and look at it and know what I put in there and know whether it tastes good or not. I mean, I've been doing it long enough where that I can generally, and that's a chef's job. It's not for me to get food to taste how I want it to be. It's how I want to get food to a palatability of of what the guest is going to enjoy. You know, for example, I like food that's a little spicier where you don't. I mean, we fight over the fresh pepper. Boy, she sees the fresh pepper shaker come out, and I'm afraid I'm going to get hit with it.
Nope, I can't do it. Can't do it. But aroma is a key factor into whether something is done, whether it's roasted. You know, you can put a cake in the oven, and 30, 45 minutes, and you won't smell. All of a sudden, you start smelling it.
Yes.
Then you know it's almost done. Or you know when it's almost burned, right? You're out in the other room, and all of a sudden, smoke alarm's going off, and you're smelling something burning.
Yeah.
So it's a trigger to what process your food is going through.
Well, you know, sulfuric vegetables are very much that way. And I added something in the booklet when I was looking at it today that you're making available here shortly. And it was, had to do with smelling something, you know, and not being able to taste. I think it's because, you know, first off, you're getting it up close to your nose, right? So that's a part of it. So I was looking at some stuff. We know that we, since I'm going down a different rabbit trail anyway, that we can get sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and umami. Umami is also what we call savory. Some kind of like a mushroom flavor or an earthy.
Meaty.
Meat.
Yeah.
Beef. That kind of stuff. So there's a variety of things that we can taste, but when it comes to practicing, I know that for me, I believe going through my time in the wine industry, both connected with, you know, as a chef and having wines on our restaurant wine list and stuff, but also a couple years of running a winery, completely running a winery down in Napa Valley. It was just learning vineyard management, how the grapes grow and all of this stuff. And then once you start practicing on the aroma, especially if you're writing a wine list, because you might go through 100 bottles to get a 10 bottle list, but you go through and it's that smell. What am I picking up? Because, you know, it doesn't matter what you taste. Because if it smells bad, you know, your mind's already going to be made up before it gets to your mouth.
Well, and our aroma is something that we lose when we're sick. So when you're sick, things don't tend to taste good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to, you know, you don't want to eat. And also I've learned that taste buds, when we were kids, we were taught, you know, sweet's on one side of the tongue, salty's on another side of the tongue, something's at the tip of your tongue. That's actually incorrect. It's actually incorrect.
Well, I know where my spice is. I know that much.
Yeah, a lot of that's in the back of the throat. But they have found that our taste buds are actually intermixed throughout over the entire tongue. And if one area of your tongue dies, basically, that other areas of your tongue will pick up those traits to make up for it. It's actually pretty amazing what it does.
Yeah, I don't think I want to YouTube a video on, you know, different parts of the tongue.
Well, that's what this book was talking about, is what we taste is so much more than what we think is just putting something in our mouth and chewing and swallowing. There's so much more involved in it.
And, you know, we haven't even talked about, you know, the very first thing. You know, the very first thing is your sight. You see it. You know, I bring my wife in. She's sitting at the table, and I bring her this beautiful piece of salmon. And it looks great on the plate. It's got, you know, your vegetables with it and maybe a nice starch or a grain of some sort. And she looks at it. So that's that first effect that you have before you can even smell it, right? And then you get the aroma. Does it smell like, you know, the ocean? Is it like oceanic? Got that, or does it smell strong? Like salmon with the omega-3, with all the fats in there, can have a stronger smell to it. And then, if they took the bloodline off the bottom, that's another important component, because it's the bloodline on the bottom of the fish is that dark piece that's down there. If you don't trim that off, you're really going to have a much stronger flavored fish. And I don't care whether it's sea bass or halibut, or, I mean, there's always going to be that bloodline, which is next to the skin. But, and then after that, you still haven't tasted it yet. And now you're going to check the texture. Is this salmon flake apart, or is it hard? Is the texture tough? And the very last, so it's almost like taste is not least important, but it's last.
The actual flavor, but before all that, the ambiance of the room affects taste. You know, sitting on the coast overlooking the Monterey Bay, things are going to taste different than if you're, you know, in the back room. You know, in the dark.
Ambiance is critical. to a lot of things. I mean, if you have a conversation, you're having a good time, you're much less likely to, you know, be sitting there just nitpicking at whatever's in front of you.
Is there beautiful music that makes you feel relaxed? Or is it really loud, annoying, you know, rock music that's irritating you? There's so many things that affect taste. But aroma is one of the primary.
You think rock music is irritating?
Depends upon how loud it is.
That's not all I got out of what you said. But you know, and but one of the things that that I was reminded of today when I was prepping was, remember we used to do those aroma seminars?
Mm-hmm.
And they were for wine tasting. And you would get a variety of wines. Let's say you got five white wines. Ten glasses, five white, five red, maybe just an ounce or two of wine in each one. And then each one is just enhanced with either just a drop of extract or maybe a little bit of, let's say, pineapple juice or a little drop of vanilla. And then you go through and it's blind. So you put it on a piece of masking tape, put it on the bottom of the glass, and then you just do this as a group. It's a fun, fun little training thing to do. But once you're able to pick up the aroma, it makes the taste component so much easier.
And here's something else I learned. Whenever you see all natural flavors on a label, it's actually aroma that's been added. So if you read, you know, something that's peach flavored and it says all natural flavors, it has a peach aroma, especially in like a soft drink when you pop off the top and you can smell the peaches. It's from an aroma elixir that they've added.
Yeah, and they've added some extract or flavor, you know, from something. And I remember earlier when I lost my thought of train, it was broccoli. That's what I could walk into a restaurant and tell you if the broccoli is overcooked. But sulfuric vegetables are so obvious. And I just remember over the decades of doing this, walking in the kitchen saying, hey, pull the broccoli out of the oven or pull the broccoli out of the steamer. Or
cauliflower, Brussels sprouts.
Turnips, that kind of thing. You know, I seen something on Brussels sprouts the other day, too, and it was – one of the things that we'll get a video on it. In fact, we have one. I did one, but it's not up yet. We'll have to get that one up. Because if you don't know how to prep Brussels sprouts, you will ruin them. You have to understand it's like a little baby cabbage, and that center is a hard core. So you have to put like a cut, like a plus shaped cut on that core side, going in about a half an inch, or a third of the way into the vegetable.
To allow the water to get up inside of it to cook it.
Or you're literally, the outside of the Brussels sprout is falling off and into the boiling water wherever it is, or the deep fryer, and the inside's still undercooked. And that's what I noticed with, they got this little trend you see of people fried Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's been around
shades,
for a while, yeah. And you see them, like, when you see these things pop up, then you see them everywhere. You know, remember, it's either a trend or a fad, folks. A fad will fade away, i.e. soft-serve yogurt, okay? I mean, I don't even know if you can find that. And at one point, it seemed like there was one in every corner. So I don't know, maybe that's just me. But that's kind of a big part of it. But if it's a trend, like, you know, eating healthy, and those things are going to continue on. You know, so we talked earlier about like a bon ami sandwich. You see it everywhere, now you don't see it at all, or... chicken wings will be here forever, but, you know, Brussels sprouts, I don't know. But you got to do them right. Most of the time I get them in a restaurant, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said when you've made their Brussels sprouts, like going, I have never liked Brussels sprouts before in my life. Usually because they're bitter, because they're not cooked all the way through.
Well, that's one of the vegetables that where prep is, like, vital. Some things, you know, you can get away with a little bit of leeway. You don't have to peel the fiber off the outside of your celery, you know. I mean, if you don't want to, I do. I don't want to floss while I'm trying to eat my vegetables. But yeah, I think that, you know, Brussels sprouts, you can definitely do those where they're just almost, I don't say inedible, but who wants a raw vegetable in the center? And they think they look good, and they, you know, they're all crispy and brown, but they're not cooked all the way. It's the prep. It's all in the prep.
But going back to aroma, you made a cauliflower last week where we par cooked it in the microwave and got it cooked all the way through, then took it and popped it into the toaster oven to get that caramelized brown flavor.
Yeah, so
and
you
it
can
completely
get
changed
flavor.
The flavor of that cauliflower.
Hit it with some Himalayan salt and a little bit of not cracked pepper, but regular pepper, and a little bit of butter, and oh boy, it was delicious. So anyway, hey, okay, I'm hungry. We didn't eat before we came here, and hopefully you're hungry too, folks, and we're going to take a quick break here. Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista will be back in just a moment.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Whether it's a harvest theme or Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques Vintage and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques Vintage and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night.
All right, well, welcome back. Welcome back. Well, we had some fun this week. Me and my wife, I was trained through a French apprenticeship program. I have to kind of set this up a little bit. Because I was trained that way, I graduated it in, it was 3 years, and I graduated in 81. Okay, so I started right in high school. It's a French apprenticeship program, which means everything is made from scratch. It's made from what a chef would describe as the Bible of cooking, which would be a Escoffier. The French get, credit for quite a few things, mainly because they were the first ones to write stuff down. I think they documented it better, and Escoffier, there was, no one, like him, as the master. He actually wrote the menu for the Titanic.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. All 17 courses. And that's not why the boat sank, but boy, they had a heck of a meal. And we've actually had some fun with that over the years where we've done, events at our restaurants on the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, I feel like it was the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, we did that, and then we did it, a year or two later on that same anniversary, maybe the 102nd or something. But that, it was, very French. Quite a meal, and again, I think it was at least 15, 16, 17 courses. But anyway, the point I wanted to get to is making things from scratch. What we really, I think desire to do, with this project, with Culinary Yours, with, Cooking Like a Pro podcast and all of these things is try to release you from, my wife had, I don't know if you heard it or if you came up with it, it was the original thought, but the tyranny of recipes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get away from, learn how to make something from scratch, because then you have all this opportunity to go any direction you want. And you can say something as simple as making tomato sauce. So there's five mother sauces or main sauces, made sauces. But you take tomato sauce and then you add, brown sugar, vinegar, and mustard to it, and now you have barbecue sauce. So, you take this mother sauce, you add ingredients to it, and you make it a secondary sauce, or what we call a sister sauce. So mother sauce, main sauce, sister sauce, and the sister sauce to just go on for chapters and chapters and chapters in Escoffier. But when you can make something from scratch, it's really going to open you up to be able to be so much more creative and be able to come up with so many ideas. And that's what my mind does when I think of things. So we did this process. So I want to have Krista kind of walk you through her take on it, because this is the first time that I think you've probably witnessed a brown stock
from scratch.
All right. Okay.
So for all of you that don't know what a stock is, it is, you guys think of the box or the can at the store that says beef broth or chicken broth, or mm-hmm. you can get a base. Chicken base, beef base, and you flavor some water.
The only stock I invest in is beef stock.
Beef stock. Okay. Well, there we go.
Not the beef stock that moves. It's the stock that comes from the...
It would have been a good investment there, Ben. It would have been a very good investment because, beef is nothing but go through the roof.
Okay. We're not talking about the stock market.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we had the bones. So we start with the beef.
So what type of bones were they? The shank?
Okay. Yeah. They take the shank and you want them to be cut, in about 2 to 2.5 inch pieces. Cause what you're after is the bone marrow. The bone marrow inside is where the flavor comes from. So the bone has to be cut in order to have access to that. So, yeah, you started off with the bones.
Okay, so but first off, you preheated the oven because we're going to be going into the oven. And then you took a pan and you browned off the bones.
The bones.
Mm-hmm. And then you... I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, basically from that, I just went in and added some tomato paste there.
That was right.
Then we roasted it out in the oven for an hour.
With the bouquet garni.
Yeah.
And then also with the mirepoix.
Those went in the pot. Better. Both of those went in the pot. So we roast the bones so they get that brown flavored that we want, that beef brown look and beef flavor we want. We always add tomato. That's one of the mistakes I see so many people make and chefs make, where they don't add tomato product to their beef dishes. And you have to, because if you don't, you've got a plain, flat, brown, ugly sauce. It probably would define more as a gravy. Yes, you
depth of flavor.
Yeah, you need tomato to add the acid, but more so to give it that amber. That amber look.
Because it also caramelizes.
Yep.
So anyway, that pan, hot, browned, went into the oven to roast. Was that about 400 degrees?
Yeah, 400 degrees
for about an hour. And then you took that out, and then you started to add the mirepoix. Yeah.
And the bouquet garni.
And
so there's only 4 ingredients on any stock. And again, as my wife said, stock is it's just broth. It's just flavored broth. It can be fish, beef, chicken, veal, which is white beef, oyster, clam shells, you know, shrimp. If you ever get shrimp, mom, I forgot I had that conversation with mom last night. She got these shrimp brought over to her, and they still had the heads on them. You know, so like kind of like a crawfish. When you eat a steamed crawfish, you eat the tail, and then you suck the head. Well, the heads are generally used for your stock, and that's what mom did. I'm so impressed with her. She made it, so she saved the shells, made a stock, and then made a chowder out of it.
Very nice.
Yeah. See, I don't know where that rubbed off on her, but boy, she figured it out. I was so impressed. I even told her that.
So we took the brown bones. Actually, it's not we. I was behind the camera.
Everything's in the pot.
You did. Everything is now in the pot. You've added about a gallon of water, and then. Yeah. So did you add red wine to it also?
We deglazed it. We deglazed the pan with the bones in it, and that got all the last of those little scrap pieces in there. Okay. All this went in the pot. Your vegetables, which is your carrots, onion, and celery. Your bouquet garni, which is your aromatics.
And then the roasted
bay leaf
bones.
And thyme. Yeah, we got more bay leaves growing in our backyard. But anyway, so all that went in the pot, and then it went for an hour. So it reduced by about a half, and we ended up with about a half a gallon.
Yeah. Set it and forget it, and then cool it down. And then the next stage will be to take that and turn it into a sauce. So
yep.
Right now
and
it's gone.
All you got to do is tighten it up. Now, it's already been reduced by half, which the French word for half is?
Demi.
Demi, yeah. And it's been reduced by half, so now it's just going to need to be tightened up with the roux. And you can thicken up a sauce with the roux, which is equal parts butter and flour. But how many different colors of roux are there?
There is, well, first there is the uncooked, which is the beurre manier.
Yeah.
And then when you do cook it, you've got white, which is barely cooked, blonde, which is kind of cooked, and brown, which is the darker cooked.
Yeah, yeah. The blonde roux will start to get a little nutty in aroma, and you'll know. And what you're doing at this point when you cook the roux, which is, again, the flour and butter mixture, is you're trying to cook the starch flavor out of it. You don't want to taste that, you know, that tongue stuck to your roof of your mouth, aspirin kind of, you know, you don't want that flavor. So that's the starch, and so the starch has to cook out. So in a brown sauce, you'd use a brown roux. In a blonde sauce, you use a blonde roux. In a white sauce or a cream sauce, also the French know as bechamel, you would use a white roux. So the color of the roux matches the sauce. And again, it's really quite simple. It's those four ingredients. It's always going to be the main flavor of the item, the protein, beef bones, chicken bones, fish bones. So you got the main protein. You've got your bouquet garni, your aromatics, your mirepoix, your vegetables, and the last thing's water. You know, and we always were told in our apprenticeship to always start your stocks with cold water. And I've noticed since then that I've seen some things where they'll take the bones, throw them in a pot, bring it up to a temperature, a heat. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was all the way to a boil. And then take off those impurities, strain it, and then start over with that. And to me, you're just losing flavor. You're just throwing flavor down. You can get those impurities out. I mean, I don't care if you have to use a coffee filter or if you have to use cheesecloth or, get yourself a chinois, but
capture the flavor first before you strain it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But if you, those impurities are still going to have flavor. So, and there's also what we call a raft. So the raft would be the same thing one more time. You take the bouquet garni, you take the mirepoix, and in the case of beef, we would take some meat, and we'd slice it up, chop it up super fine, almost a hamburger, but not quite ground, just chopped. You mix that together with egg whites, and then you put that on the top of your simmering stock. And if you had a pot that was glass, you could see the particles in the sauce as it simmers. Go up and down and up and down and up and down from the bottom of the pot to the top of the pot, the bottom. And when they go to the top, this mixture of beef, egg whites, and vegetables and aromatics will form what we call a raft, and they'll adhere to that. So
by far
it's the best way to purify it. And then you carefully take that off, and this is how you make a consommé.
It's consommé.
Yeah, if you want to go to the point of the consommé. The thing is, I can't remember the last time I seen a consommé.
It sounds way too complicated. But it's the purest of flavors, yeah, right?
But if you take a spoonful of something that looks like a lightly off-colored water, and you just feel like someone just stuffed an entire Dungeness crab in your mouth, you know, I mean, or, you know, an entire garden of tomatoes. I mean, because the flavor is just that concentrated. And, again, it's so much of this is a dying art. As I'm writing this book and I'm going through and I'm thinking about all the chefs that I've known that have since passed. And that's why, you know, I really should thank my wife for allowing us to go down to Monterey, because being able to talk to Bert Catino, one of just the, you know, there's not a whole lot of master chefs in the world. And this, he's 85 years old. And I know you got a chance to just kind of sit off on the side and watch, but we had about a 45 minute discussion. And so I don't know how enthralled you were, but I was very emotional.
It was very sweet. He's so passionate about the art and the craft and the hospitality of food service.
That's it. And it's just old school. It's just, it needs to be right. That's how I was trained. You know, we can't obtain perfection, but as long as it's perfect, I'm okay. Right? Meaning, let's get it as best as we can, because that's what it's about. It's about family. It's about flavor. It's about community. It's about enjoying yourself, you know, around the table. And it's about those relationships and memories which are created, folks. And I think that's why we're really onto this project. But anyway.
And speaking of sauces, as I'm doing the vegetable booklet, I'm also writing a 30-page sauce and spice booklet. So that will also be coming up soon.
I've only looked at that one once.
Yeah, and anyway, that's got over.
We'll get the vegetables out first.
100
sauces. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Again, you're with Chef Cow and Miss Chef Krista, cooking like a pro. Back in just a moment.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screenings, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Oh, we were down one song, so we're just coming in hot.
As long as the wheels are on the ground, we're good.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly say it's National Liqueur Day. I don't know if I'm saying that right. L-I-Q-U-E-U-R.
Liqueur.
Yep.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll have to pour myself some Grand Marnier here. Yeah.
Okay, and speaking of days, there is International Chef's Day coming up on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Celebrate your chefs on Sunday.
Do I have to cook? Okay. Yeah, so, you know, do that. When you go into a restaurant, maybe let the server know. You know, hey, it's National Chef's Day. Tell the chef that we said hello. Or tell the chef that we appreciate it. Because, you know, it's hard work. I did it for a long time, and my body took a pretty good beating.
Well, we were over speaking with Charlie and Kathy the other night that we interviewed last week, and they had got there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they were there till 9 o'clock that night. So that tells you how long and hard restaurants work is.
Especially when you get those family restaurants.
Family restaurants.
You know? And just finishing up on the last block that we had, the when talking about flavors and the tyranny, getting away from the tyranny of recipes, you know, being, you know, you start with recipes. You know, start with recipes and then make them your own. But you do that by learning how to cook from scratch. So if I needed to tie a bow on that one.
And we talk about that in the booklet.
Oh, yes.
Learning how to mystery box cook.
Quite a bit. You know, and one of the things on flavor also, since we were on the topic, the being able to taste, being mindful of what you taste. Think about what you're eating. Think about what you're putting in your mouth. You don't have to stop and moan and close your eyes. I mean, I've done that, but I mean, at the dinner table. I mean, in like a really nice restaurant. And I didn't moan real loud, but that was. But
okay, I got to brag about one more thing.
Okay.
My very first tomato, the first one in successfully grown in 12 years.
Oh, yesterday.
A full-size beefsteak.
Oh.
Came off the vine yesterday.
It looked like a mortgage lifter or something.
It was beautiful, and we had a beautiful BLT, and that tomato was so fresh.
It was center stage, actually, on the sandwich. I'd almost say that the tomato might have even overpowered. You don't use a bitter lettuce on a BLT anyway.
It was beautiful. It was shiny. It was red.
Yeah, nice toasted potato bread.
People, I am so proud that we have our first full-grown tomato that actually made it through the summer, through deer season.
Yeah.
We were able to enjoy it.
I took pictures of it, so we'll have to put that one up. We'll put that up on the site.
We'll get that one up on Instagram.
You can take a look at it. But anyway, on background flavors, being able to taste, being able to pick things up. And one of the things that I think is really been able to allow me to be successful over the decades was early on learning that there's a background flavor that has to be built. Okay, so it may be seasonings in there that the average person is not even going to taste, but they're going to say, yes, I like it. They're going to stop and analyze it. But they're going to say, yeah, that was a great broccoli and cheddar soup. But maybe they didn't realize that we took the stalks and boiled them down to get a broccoli broth. Just instead of just start with water, you're starting with broccoli broth. So you got even more flavor. And then maybe use a sharp cheddar instead of just a regular soup. But maybe they're not even noticing. They're just saying, wow, that's a really nice broccoli cheddar soup.
And if you took the time to roast your garlic and use it instead of just a raw garlic, that's another depth of flavor.
But the background flavor that I ended up coming to this was 89 when we started Dean Mercurio's, and that was what we call secret salt. And it's just two parts salt, one part white pepper, one part granulated garlic. But that went in to about everything that I made except for dessert. And sometimes, I made white pepper ice cream. I mean, crab ice cream. We do, sometimes you venture off and shove some savory over into the sweet category. But it always had this background flavor of this light seasoning. It was all light colored. I didn't use black pepper. I used white. But everything got just a little dusting of that.
White pepper tastes quite a bit different than black pepper, so it gives a little bit different background note to it.
It doesn't have the shell.
Yeah.
Right? The shell's been removed. That's black pepper has the shell on it, so it's ground up, so it's black and white, where white pepper's not. That's why white pepper is expensive. But anyway, so flavor. But anyway, those background flavors start solid, and that gets us back to really our discussion about stock. Is you've got all those background flavors. I'm not going to taste this thing and say, wow, I'm really picking up the thyme, or I'm really getting the carrots, or wow, the garlic's really coming through. No, it's this balanced combination of flavors that's complete. And it starts with that back, and then it comes forward from there.
And that's where I'm right now. The five ingredient recipes are really the rage right now. It's another one. It's going to be a fad or a trend. But I look at those and go, but you are missing out on so much flavor, because everybody's looking for speed. They're looking for convenience. And really the only true way you can get a five ingredient recipe is to use pre-made items that you've mixed together, five different ones, because you're not going to get the density, the layer of flavor. It's just the thought behind it coming through.
Yeah, and again, do we want to enjoy it? Again, I do have one of the chapters in my book is titled Live to Eat and Eat to Live, and we've talked about that numerous times here on the show. But do we just want to eat so we can get to our next task? Do we want to eat so we have energy to do whatever's next on the list? Or do we want to enjoy ourselves? And that has to do with bringing in community and bringing in discussions and having these again family memories created. And I mean, as an Italian family, maybe that's your family, my family, we're a little different. Dinner was a little more quiet at your house than it was at my house, because literally we got eight people and there's four conversations going on. So each there's two people talking in four, and it's across the table. And
but you have multiple generations, and four or five, ten people in each generation. So there's more people.
Yeah, but that was always a lot of fun. And I did want to mention, because I know that we went out. We don't really go out much. It might sound like we do because we talk about it a lot. But we went out and to a restaurant where something happened that I I just disagree with. I'll just put it that way, because there's a reason we're called hospitality industry. The first word, hospitality, coming from the word hospital, coming from the idea of taking care of people. And that's why the front of the house are called servers, because they serve, you know, not that they're any less of a person, you know, or whatever, if somebody wants to try to define it. It's that they're a server. That's the position. And you have to have the heart of a server to be a really good server. But this restaurant we went out to, and what their policy was they wouldn't let anyone sit down until the whole group is there. And I can understand that.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, if you need to do turntables, and we were a large party coming in.
Well, I mean, it was just an eight top, but still, you know, there are always those, you know, those circumstances where you have to consider the different, you know, things that are going on. And then Dad wasn't feeling real well and standing in this big crowded little entryway waiting. So I just think.
Yeah, there was a situation where we weren't all there, and we couldn't get seated, and my father-in-law was on oxygen. And
there's a number of restaurants that do that here in town, and I know why, because I've had restaurants, and I've thought about maybe this would be a policy to do. But when you're in a restaurant and, you know, you need reservations to get into it because we're that busy, and you got two people sitting there waiting for two people that are, you know, stuck in traffic. Maybe they're just lazy. I don't know. But you do, I think you have to take it on an individual basis. Maybe that's what I should say.
What I'd say from a customer standpoint, you know before you go, if you are going in as a large party, you know, find out what the restaurant's policy is for getting seated.
Well, if they take reservations, most people don't even do that anymore. I know the restaurant, you know, we had on the river, you couldn't get in without a reservation. But, you know, that's going to depend on a restaurant and how successful they are. But yeah, you have to come up with policies that work. But I think you always have to err on the forgiveness side for the guest, you know, because you are there for the guest. I mean, I remember being in restaurants where, you know, you get up and go to the restroom and you come back and your cloth napkin's been refolded into whatever the fold, you know, we have.
I remember that. It was folded on my seat of my chair. It was so sweet. It was so nice to do that for me.
Yeah. And those are just the type of things that really separate it. And you can find that in all different areas. It's no different than putting, you know, a nice hot soup in a cold bowl. You know, I mean, why would you do that? Because all you're going to do is cool it down. So I don't know if there's, you know, this is a lot of things that come down to just kind of, what I look at is being common sense, but I was also trained that way. And I was also raised with manners. And, you know, you said, you know, thank you. You asked to be excused from the table. You ate what got put on your plate, and you were happy about it. And so it was, especially for breakfast with the fried bologna.
It all just comes down to preparation from the guest standpoint and preparation from the restaurant standpoint, so that all the bases are covered. So when a situation arises, you're able to adapt, you're able to accommodate, and that there doesn't become a big brouhaha or situation and overcrowding, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, we even did, even something getting back to the details, I just thought, like, remember DiMicuro's, we actually offer people chilled salad forks. For your salad. So your salad was on a, you know, ice cold salad on an ice cold plate with an ice cold fork. I mean, hey, texture, temperature, that makes a salad. You want them to be crisp, right?
And I remember the Red Lion, the little bread things with different, you had different little sticks and crackers and things on it. So if they were busy.
And the
I used to love those. I mean, I was 4 years old and I remember going to the Red Lion and having the crackers to keep me entertained and dealt with until service was able to happen.
Give you that jolt of really quick sugar energy that you're going to crash. And that's why we're tired at the end of dinner. But anyway, hospitality industry, it's over 9 million employees, more employees than about anything else that's going on. So that's just one of those things that I think, you know, good service really stands out. So let's just, we'll leave it at that. All right. Good service stands out. But anyway, you've got Chef Kyle here and Mr. Chef. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. If you want to hear any of our previous shows, you can look for Cooking Like a Pro on podcast on, either Apple or Spotify. Is that right? Apple and Spotify.
Apple and Spotify and YouTube also.
Forget, you know, let's not forget to make a difference in someone else's day. You know, let's take a moment just to take the word random out of the phrase random acts of kindness and be intentional about helping people out there, folks. So we appreciate you, really appreciate you tuning in, listening. God bless you. We'll see you next time for here at Cooking Like a Pro.
Medical Center.